The Hard Shoulder on News Talk
with Nissan. Let's go the distance by keeping our distance. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
You're listening to News Talk. It's Mark Hackett. Thank you for your company. Now, imagine being able to call on the power of a star. No, not Taylor Swift. I'm talking about one of those things up in the heavens to keep the national grid up and running. Imagine that there could be a less polluting form of nuclear power. Now imagine that the whole world effectively clubbed together to try and build a reactor that could make that a reality. Well, imagine no more, because in France, a 20 billion euro nuclear fusion project called ITER, entered a five-year construction phase. The project, which is funded by the EU, China, Russia, India and the US, to name but a few, has the potential to revolutionise how we power our planet, how we power this world. Well, here to try and help make sense of this and explain it to yours truly is Roger Highfield, Science Director at the Science Museum Group. Good afternoon, Roger. Thank you for taking time to talk to us. Right, now, I specifically emphasised nuclear fusion. So we hear nuclear power, nuclear fission, nuclear fusion. Explain what they are and what the difference is, and why is fusion the way forward in your opinion?
Right. Well, essentially, for nuclear fission, which is conventional nuclear power, what you have at the heart of that process are very big, heavy atoms like uranium and plutonium. And in a nutshell, they decay, you get radioactive decay, and when they fall apart, they release a bit of energy. And in fact, if you kind of weighed the fragments that these big atoms decayed into and weighed the original atom, you'd find a tiny difference in mass. And I think most people have heard of Einstein's equation E equals mc squared, mm-hmm. as energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. So all you need to know is that if you get a tiny difference in mass, it releases the most colossal amount of energy. Now, as I say, we've got fission is the conventional one. Now, fusion is what's happening in the sun right now to keep us warm. And that's where you take really light elements, typically forms of hydrogen like deuterium and tritium, and you squish them together. And again, you get a tiny mass difference, and again, you get colossal amounts of energy released. But there's a slight twist to fusion in that the heart of these atoms is positively charged, and it's you need colossal amounts of energy to make atoms fuse together. So at the heart of ITER, there is a kind of magnetic bottle which will confine material that will be more than 100 million degrees Celsius. So, you know, the sun is about 15 million degrees. And this magnetic bottle confines these light elements so they squish together and hopefully release loads of energy that we can then use to create electricity or whatever.
Okay, and that's the science and the tech that's at the heart of this development in France. Tell us more about it.
Well, it's a massive engineering challenge. And I must say, you know, I've been writing about ITER for many years.
Which stands for what, by the way? What does ITER stand for?
It is from the Latin for the way, basically.
Oh, right, okay.
So presumably it's the way forward. You know, it's taking us on a journey. And some people say this journey's going to take rather a long time. There's always been a kind of fusion power joke, which is, it was Soviet scientists who in the 50s showed us how you could use this thing called a tokamak, which is like this magnetic bottle, to confine these hugely hot materials. And ever since then, people have said fusion power is just a few decades away. So, you know, the last big success was something called the Joint European Torus, or JET, in Oxfordshire. And that got very close to getting as much energy out of the fusion reactor as they put in. And now we're on to ITER, which is its sort of big brother, huge international consortium, hugely expensive, huge engineering challenges. And hopefully in 5 years' time, we might see whether it's viable to make a commercial fusion power plant.
Okay, and how would that revolutionise the future of how we power our planet?
I think, you know, the planet, people talk glibly about the climate emergency, but it really is, you know, there are so many signs of change now that are alarming. You know, in June, We had that city in the Siberian Arctic recording a temperature of 38 degrees Celsius, 10 degrees higher than the seasonal average. The South Pole's warming at three times the global rate. We've got deforestation of the Amazon. There's worries that we might get accelerating climate change. So we desperately need new ways to make a lot of energy without big carbon emissions. And the good news about fusion power is if we can get it to work commercially, it's got a very low carbon output and not that much radioactive waste. So it would be a total game changer. You know, really from relatively a tiny amount of fuel, you can get a huge amount of fusion power. So if you take the lithium, which is, again, another light element, from one laptop battery and the deuterium from a bath of water, you get enough energy to power a person for 30 years. So you don't need much fuel to get a colossal amount of fusion power.
Okay. This is News Talk. If you've just tuned in, thank you for your company. I'm talking to Roger Highfield, who's the science director at the Science Museum Group. Not a nuclear fission project, which is what our nuclear power stations tend to be. It's the methodology used to power them at the moment. This is something better, brighter, shinier, cleaner. And also, Roger, safer, we hope, because people have major worries and issues about nuclear.
Yes, I think they would be intrinsically much safer. I mean, it's hard to explain, but in a to put it simply, it's such a colossal effort to get a stable. They talk about a plasma, which is basically where atoms are broken down, to get them at 100 degrees Celsius. If you get anything wrong, it just shuts down instantly. It's difficult to see how you could get a runaway fusion reaction of the way that, say, we saw in Chernobyl or something like that. So they're intrinsically a safer reactor design.
Okay.
And again, there'll be much less waste.
Right.
Although you're right, you're just talking about nuclear fusion makes people uneasy, but I think this is a whole different sort of animal from conventional fission reactors.
I accept all of that. Now, the science may be foolproof or more foolproof than what we have right at the moment. But ultimately, the people who use it, run it and control it are human. Humans are fallible, they make mistakes. And when we get mistakes, we get Chernobyl, we get Three Mile Island. And even when it's not a human error, when nature takes a hand, we get something like Fukushima. And that it's not just a disaster, it is a catastrophe. This is a bigger, far bigger, far more powerful form of power than the nuclear we have. We see what that does when it goes wrong. If something was to go wrong with nuclear fusion, would that be it? Would it be all over?
No, definitely not. I do genuinely think it's a safer proposition. And I think you've got to put it in the broader context that COVID-19 has obviously brought the planet to its knees. But really, most scientists think that the threat of global climate change and the climate emergency is much greater over a much more sustained time. So we do need some radical solutions out there. I think relative to the spending on renewables and so on, this is, although it sounds a lot, it's a relatively small investment.
As you're selling it to me, I'm buying it. I'm going, hey, hang on a second. Maybe we found the way for the future. But the cynical side of me says this technology will give whoever owns or controls it enormous power. They will effectively run the world. How can we ensure that power isn't abused? How can we ensure that it can't be weaponized or isn't weaponized?
I think the good thing about this is a true international collaboration. It's a huge collaboration between China, the European Union, India, Japan, South Korea, Russia, and the United States. I have to say, it's all taken longer, and it's at least twice as expensive as when I last wrote about it. But it's a true international venture. Hopefully, that will guarantee that if we can get this technology working and make it commercially viable, that's a critical thing, then everyone will share the benefit.
This is revolutionary technology. If they get it right, it could effectively help save the planet.
It really could. It would end the energy crisis and curb climate change at a stroke. But I have to admit, my cynicism about it is not about who's going to exploit it. It's more that, people have been saying for decades it's going to take us between 20 and 50 years to build a fusion power plant. They were saying it at the height of the Cold War when the interest in fusion power really got going, and people are still saying it today. But I do think, ITER is a bet well worth making. And I should say there's a whole plethora of small fusion power concepts that people are looking at. So, fingers crossed, we can get this energy to source to work in the next 20 to 50 years, as we've been saying for more than half a century.
Roger Highfield, Science Director at the Science Museum Group. Thank you so much for joining us here on News Talk.
Pleasure.